Welcome to the M3 Podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here.
Welcome back to another episode of the M3 Podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Bree, and thankfully I have my friend Gabby here with me. And welcome, girl.
Hello, we are back.
We're currently struggling on this couch right now, but thankful to be here. And we came from what looked like jail right before, but yeah. Let's backtrack even further.
Yeah, we might as well get into it. But where do we start in this story?
Well, it's been a couple weeks, so we arrived in Bali.
Oh my gosh.
We're each other's Valentines, and I mean, became very social. We were out and about. We got in the group chat finally.
Yeah. It didn't even take us that long. It took us 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days in Bali to like figure out the ins and outs and what's to do and the crowds and what's happening. So that was amazing. Met some great people. Had a lot of fun. And then pretty quickly met two new friends that we've been traveling with ever since.
And ironically, this travel romance, I feel like, has taught us a lot.
Oh my gosh. Relationships are always the greatest teacher.
I don't even know where to begin. So much has happened. Yeah, honestly. Last 24 hours.
Oh my gosh. And the last month, but yeah, the last 24 hours have been traumatizing. But I guess we can start with, the elephant in the room is that we got into a pretty serious accident. But let's kind of fill in and give updates about everything else leading up to that. And all the good and all the stuff that we've experienced ever since. So we're in Bali. It was so fun. Like, we just really got into our routine at Bamboo Gym and Cafe. Mm-hmm. We're meeting people. We're just having a great time. Vanessa got here, one of our friends. We got to see Vanessa. We got to see Sarah and Albert, spent time with them. And like I had mentioned, we ended up meeting these two guys who we both have hit it off with. And it's just been, they're friends. And it's just been so much fun because it's like one of our friends pointed out that it's like we're
we're dating with the man versions of ourselves.
Of each other. Yeah. But it's just been so fun, and they are actually great. And it was just so obvious that these connections were supposed to happen because we kept running into these guys and kept running into them. And there was a point in time where with my guy, I didn't feel any type of connection. I didn't feel like we had any type of chemistry. But we kept running into these people, and we were just like, okay, so maybe we should just all hang out and just see what this means. And we decided they invited us to their trip to Sumbawa, which is a very, very private island. It is, I don't know, population maybe 300 people.
Yeah. But that part of town, so small.
Oh, you're right. The part of town that we were in, probably 1,000, if that.
If that, yeah.
Only a few restaurants. We went days without water.
And power. Electricity.
Yeah. But it was so cool because it really felt like magic. Like, we were just in this remote island with these people that we had just met, having this experience with the cleanest water, the cleanest oceans, finally. You know, coral that was still alive. Mm-hmm. Animals out the wazoo, like wild horses, cows, goats, chickens, dogs, everything you can think of. And it was amazing.
Monkeys.
Yeah, I can't forget the monkeys. And so it was quite the experience, and we really had the opportunity to kind of power off a little bit and be with ourselves and be with each other. And with that, it brought its challenges. like we were saying, relationships are the greatest teachers, right? And even though everything is perfect and great, it's like a tale as old as time. Like, you can't run away from yourself. And go ahead.
Well, I feel like I saw so prominent the lesson as to why I wanted to come on this trip.
Yeah.
It showed up in the clearest of all forms. And I'm curious to know, why did you want to go on a self-discovery trip, and what has it taught you?
In general?
I need to travel more, you were saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say the catalyst to that was, I mean, this past year I've wanted to travel and experience. I would say the last 2 years, I've just been so hungry for experiences, and it's been top of mind over anything else, over career, over, you know, anything. It's been top two priority, you know? And then I met my ex, who is extremely well-traveled, and listening to his stories and the way that he would talk about his experiences, I just knew that I had to do it. And so I also knew that I couldn't be in a relationship while doing it. Like, I needed to have a portion of my travels be single so I could go and live and not feel like I had any attachments back home. And I wouldn't be able to have had the experiences I have had if I were in a relationship, not because I've just gone wild and crazy, but because when I'm in a relationship, that person, it's both of us, you know? And I think about them, and I'm making time to communicate with them, make sure they feel good, make sure they feel seen and heard and safe. Every experience I have, I'm immediately telling them. Mm-hmm. I want to go back home to see them. So it takes me away from actually being present and enjoying and having this journey, right? If they can't do it along with me. And so, you know, I thought I was going to come out here and be single this entire time. And I thought it was going to be just super introspective, which it has been. But it's also looked like, you know, also having that sense of introspection and dating, which is kind of wild.
It's like Love Island, romance, all of it in one.
Yeah. Seriously.
So real. And I keep joking with Gabby saying, if these guys can handle us in the roughest of
rough,
like physically, emotionally,
we have everything. Three toes between the two of us.
No tampons, no, yeah. You know, just like
no makeup,
everything's like just savage life.
Yeah.
And so if these guys can handle us through that, like, they can handle us and all. And I think that's something that we had mentioned when we did the whale shark tour.
Yeah.
When we went to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
You told me, you go, these guys really don't have any care at all.
And yeah.
I actually was loving that you pointed out, like, there's no other real, like, other girls to be around on the island. Like, it's mainly guys.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be, like, their center of attention.
Yeah.
Although I'll explain my example was to what pattern showed up for me in a little bit. And then I also liked how you and I could rough it if we didn't put deodorant on, if we didn't shower, if there was no power or anything. Like, these boys still loved on us. Like,
and
they didn't care.
Right. And I really want to touch on that because I don't know about you, but I'll speak for myself. But back home, like, my experiences, and granted, I've dated amazing people. Let's put those disclaimers in. Mm-hmm. My most recent relationship, good guy, 9 of the 10 things. Mm-hmm. You know, we just, like, for the time, just, like, couldn't, it just wasn't it. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I was always competing with them just having such a wandering eye and making me feel like I wasn't the apple of their eye. And it was really starting to weigh on me. Like, I'd rather be single than be with someone that is still looking or still, like, giving other people those micro amounts of attention that are leaky sexual energy or just leaky energy in general.
Yes.
But I got to a point too where I was like, maybe it's mean. I'm just like, like, I just can't handle it. And what I've realized from this is that's not true, because these guys are legit. You guys, they're professional athletes. They are very handsome. They're very, they're it.
And they're it.
I love
that.
Yeah. And from the beginning, even when we were in Uluwatu, they have chosen us, except for the times when I wasn't interested in my guy. But even then, you know,
he still chose you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Seriously. And, like, have not doubted it. They've been so affirming, so affectionate, so just all of the things that have really restored my, oh, wait, that's right. Like, this is what it can be like. And more than just that, but they're legitimately good guys. Mm-hmm. Like, really good, honest guys. Mm-hmm. Like, their characters, it's so impressive to see how they show up and their ability to at least be willing to try and be soft with us and understand our crazy Latina.
And I pray that they see us the same way, too, because I know that we are genuinely good girls.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
Because they say that.
Yes. You know? But we are fire Latinas. And, like, we've had, like, family meetings.
Okay, everybody, we need to talk.
So we've had a few family meetings, and it's like
we'll probably have another one tonight.
Funny. It's like when you're on an island with nobody else, you entertain each other, and like shit hits the fan sometimes. And you and Gabby and I, thankfully, are the type of people that we want to talk it out. But I've actually noticed that in my personal relationships, where like it's intimate, my automatic response is to flee. And avoid or like to like and so I freak out and I'll shut down and I won't speak and I like I need space, but really all I'm asking for is like comfort, love, connection, like you know. And so I'm gonna share my example as to how I wanted to show up in this trip and how it definitely God gave me what I wanted. So I told myself I too wanted to be single, and same thing like you were just saying, is I knew that a piece of me would still be at home and want to go home and not venture if I was considering somebody else's feelings or emotions or you know, just their life as well. And so I was like, you know what, I need this. This is a chapter of my life to go and adventure and to go see what Bree's capable of and what she can handle. And shit, like I've had repeating relationship patterns where I've had to deal with another woman. I've had to deal with an ex or a best friend or somebody.
Yeah, my girl best friend.
My girl best friend. Can you have her be my bridesmaid? Like that was something I had to deal with 12 years ago. Can you have, you know, can you handle a baby mama situation? Can you handle my ex-girlfriend who's crazy, who's still close with my family? Can you, you know, and I've had this repeated. So the guy that I still have feelings for, it's true, I have feelings for this person.
Of course.
The guy I have feelings for, and it's funny because it's like 2 weeks on an island, you said, was 2 weeks or 2 months in real time. Like, that to me is so true when you're spending all waking moments of the day with each other. And
when
night.
When you're living
when together. You're living together. Yeah. So I had a repeating pattern where I got in my head and was overthinking because a girl best friend showed up and she came on this trip too. And I had questions, lots of questions, lots of lists of questions.
We have more questions.
We have more questions.
We keep coming to them with lists of questions.
And so I had questions and I wanted them answered. And thankfully, like they were affirmed. And, you know, the girl was really cool. I actually really like her and everything was cool on everyone else's end except for in my thoughts. And of course, PMSing, my period started, shit hit the fan for me and I freaked out. And I said, you know what, I'm scared. I'm gonna, we jokingly keep saying catch flights, not feelings, but I feel like I'm catching flights and feelings.
Both.
And like, yeah.
Honestly, both. And it's fun. It's fun to do both.
I like that. It's fun to, it's fun to catch flights and feelings.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I want. That sounds great.
Yeah.
At this point.
And so I told myself, I want to pick up my own pieces. I want to know that I've got my own back. And I took off, fleed. It had not rained on the island the entire time except for the 20 minutes I tried to run away from the place we were staying to go book another place to be by myself. And, of course, God said, nope, Bree, you're not running this time. You got to go sit with it and go have the family meeting conversation.
Bree walks back in the house. I'm washing the dishes because I just didn't know what to do at this point. I'm like, what just happened?
What happened?
She walked out of the room. She walked out of the house. She's gone. So washing I was dishes. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm washing dishes. Bree comes back in.
Soaking wet.
Soaking wet. Sobbing. And I was like, oh my gosh, but I was so happy to see you back. I was so happy to see you back. And we went outside and had a very good conversation. And it just felt like, you know, the universe has been so strong And the signs have been so clear since we've been traveling. When things are supposed to happen, they're easy. And when they're not supposed to happen, they're extremely difficult. And like you trying to flee and there being a giant bull in your way, it pouring rain and booking the wrong place for the wrong date. Like that, you know, it was just clear that she was supposed to be in the house with us. And so, and again, I think the conversation we had was beautiful because it was like, it's in these moments that are just like absolutely so violently uncomfortable that you actually grow and receive the benefits and the answers that we seek. You know, and I explained to Brie, like, I've had moments, I just haven't vocalized them to her, where I've felt so uncomfortable with myself and my thoughts and have really had to come at a place of both grace and curiosity instead of just absolutely shitting on myself. And there's so much beauty in that because it's like, that's why I came on this trip. Mm. You know, that's why I wanted to travel. That's why I wanted to get all of this, because I know that I have to have these experiences in order to be the woman that I really, truly am meant to be. And am becoming.
Beautiful. I'm even thinking of, like, when you mentioned earlier, when things are supposed to be easy and when they're, like, hard, when they're not supposed to be. Just another example was, like, the place we checked into right before we got here. It was pouring rain. And the only time that it poured rain again today. Right. Pouring rain is fleeing. A bad sign. Yeah. So we were checking into a place and it looked like jail.
Yeah, it was horrible.
We decided in
proper crack house.
Yeah, proper crack house. So we decided like 10 minutes after arriving, let's leave. As soon as we booked the next place and it confirmed within 2 minutes, mm-hmm. it stopped raining, sun came out, allowed mm-hmm. us to go check into the new spot. And yeah. I mean, this place is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
So we are where we're supposed to be right now.
Yeah.
And our travel romances are on their way to us right now, too.
To come take care of us.
Yeah. So you want
to,
yeah.
I will lead to my, so one of my things is also abandon before you are abandoned. Mm-hmm. And I had the same type of situation happen where it was just a ball of emotions. And then in my head, I was like, everybody in the house hates me and I need to run and flee and get out of this situation immediately. And I just made up all these stories in my head as to why everybody hates me. And I went to Brie yesterday morning and was like, hey, I'm leaving. Like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. And, you know, another pattern I've noticed within myself, too, is, like, to touch on the abandon before you're abandoned is when things are good, I really self-sabotage a lot. Mm. And that's something that I think I've kind of always known, but I haven't really paid much mind to, but I'm wanting to, because like when we were talking in the parking lot at Happy Restaurant and you're like, do you believe that you deserve like a guy that's like obsessed with you and friends that actually care about you, and it put me out of breath because yes and no. You know, like it's still very difficult for me because I just have this gaping abandonment wound and I want closeness and connection more than anything. And it's also the biggest thing that scares me, you know, because I feel like, oh, I don't want to become this kid. It literally makes me feel like a child who's just like, oh, happy go lucky, yada, yada, yada. And then in a blink of an eye, everything changes and you just have absolutely no control. You know, it's like life is good, life is great. And then all of a sudden that person's gone and there's nothing you can do about it. And it literally makes me feel like a 7-year-old that mm-hmm. literally has no voice, no say, like, and has no clue as to what's really going on. And yeah. And so I lost it and was like, I'm leaving. Brie was like, what? And I was like, yes, like my stuff is already packed. I'm out of here. You can stay. Please stay. Enjoy your time. But I got to go. And Brie, being the great friend that she is, was like, nope, I'm coming with. And so we pulled Runaway Bride. We packed all of our stuff. And all the guys were gone.
Yeah. They showed up.
We were going to leave without telling these guys.
I was like, okay, our chapter's done. Okay, yeah. Bye.
They were literally out surfing. They were going to come home to an empty house.
Because that's what we always have done.
Yeah, always.
And always. I know that to my most recent.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Just like pack up your stuff and go. Mm-hmm. Run. Adios. So we flee the scene. And We are...
Go to breakfast.
We go to breakfast. We go to breakfast.
Because there's no power and there's no water, so we can't even go to the bathroom in our own place. So
yeah, we're like to use looking the bathroom for outside.
Yeah. Gabby really
had to shit outside. I literally next to some cow shit.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so we went to the restaurant. It was right next door. We had no electricity, no running water. Day two of no running water, and we were like, okay, we just quickly need to get some breakfast before we get out of here. I'm sweating, mind you, because at this point I was like, oh my gosh, do I have Bali belly? Like, what is happening? And then we see the guys roll up. And we're trying to hide in the restaurant.
We literally were trying to hide where we knew they were going to come in to eat and do the same exact thing.
Right.
So, could not hide.
They could not hide. And they were like, hey, like, what's going on? And we were like, yeah, we're leaving. They were like, when? And we were like, right now. And it was awkward and sad.
They seemed genuinely sad, too.
Yeah, right. And confused.
Confused.
And we were like, yep, gotta go. And I was like, all right, gotta go, bye. Like, Brie, I'll wait for you outside. Say, like, do a proper goodbye. And then let's call it. And then
we embarked on a 7-hour trip.
Yeah.
And so the way that we have to go is we are on another island with the motorbikes that we're on this island. So it's Lombok. So it goes Bali, Lombok, Sumbawa. Mm-hmm. So we made it to Sumbawa with the rental bikes that we took from Lombok. And we needed to drive 2 hours in Sumbawa to go to a 2-hour ferry to drive another 2 hours home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not an easy journey. That's why we had to eat breakfast.
Yeah. No, it's extremely difficult. Like the first half, good. You know, we did well on the motorbikes, kind of took it easy, caught the ferry. The ferry was 2 hours. It was more annoying than anything else because everybody likes to listen to their applications with the volume on all the way loud. But then at this time, you know, I received a message from my guy, and he was like, it was a very kind message, and it surprised me. And I was like, what? Like, I thought you were over it. I thought you were done with it. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I realized in that moment that, you know, I just literally ran away from somebody that was like, what are you talking about? Like, I thought you wanted space from me. I thought you didn't want anything to do with me. I just thought that you were the one being distant. And so a lesson within itself, right? To just always communicate.
Different perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, oh crap, Brie, what are we gonna do? Because we have to see him again.
So she puts it on me.
So I put it on me. Yeah, so we're talking back and forth and we're saying that we miss each other and that we wish that we could, you know, still spend some more time together. But lo and behold, we have another week left before we have to leave the country.
Like, when we say have to.
We don't even have to.
We both missed our flights.
Yeah. Right. A week left is what we're telling ourselves before we have to make any decisions. And I blamed Brie, and I was like, well, Brie wants to see your dude, blah, blah, blah. This guy, I think, saw straight through it and was like, yeah, I'd love to see you in Lombok. And then we were happy girls again. We were literally, you know, after our first two-hour motorbike ride and ferry ride, we pulled off. And we were, like, laughing and giggling because we were eating our snacks.
And then
I shit my pants.
Because, again, Bali belly, like, you're so stressed. It's, I get it.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, right? There was so much going on. Brie made me laugh, which then caused me to fart, which then caused me to shit my pants. And I thought that was going to be the worst of it. So I shit my pants. I have to change.
She's towel myself. Changing in front of people, and they have no idea what's going on. She's like wiping her butt.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, and was just like, okay, like it's gonna be a smooth ride after this. Like I can just chill in like my oversized t-shirt and underwear. No one's gonna see anything. It'll be fine. So we go on our journey, and it's like becoming more challenging to talk about.
Yeah,
we start back on our journey, and I don't know how long into it, maybe an hour at this point. The roads are getting really rough, it had just rained, and this route that we had taken was, it was different than the first route that we came on, and it was awful. It was the worst road that either of us have ever driven on.
Ever.
There are literal holes in the ground, and they come out of nowhere. Like, you don't really see them until you're about to run over them. Cars are flying every which direction. People are passing on motorbikes. It's like literal fireworks are going off.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. And so we're on this part. We're kind of like, you know, there was a few bumps that I noticed that you hit mm-hmm. that were like bing, bing. They're pretty big. And then we're coming. Were we going downhill or uphill?
Downhill and around a corner.
Yeah. So we're coming downhill and around a corner. And all of a sudden, I see Bree hit this massive, literal hole in the ground and just splat onto the ground. And then I see her bike fly. And then all of a sudden, it happens to me. And I splat on the ground, hear my bike skid. And we're lying in the middle of the road. And it took us a second. We're both asking each other, are you okay? Are you okay? And I just want to highlight, if a car had come around, a truck had come around like they had been during all points of this trip, we would have been dead. We would have died.
They would have hit us.
Immediately. Yeah. There would not have been, they wouldn't have seen us. And that was horrible. It's like a blur. I remember seeing the locals come running down and the dog.
Hmm.
Everyone, dogs and chickens, came running down. And they literally picked us up and took
picked
us back.
Bikes, yeah,
picked up the bikes and took us back to their shop where they cleaned out our wounds and blessed our wounds.
That was so sweet.
Yeah, it was. And you know, made sure that we were okay. And it was, you know, in those moments, the adrenaline was so high. We were just like, what just happened? And I'm going over it quickly because it's actually very difficult to talk about because the images of like seeing my friend splat on the ground and her bike go flying and thinking, did I just watch her die in front of my eyes is like, it's just, I can't stop thinking it. And
please wear your helmets, everyone.
Yeah, seriously. So it's awful. I feel like I'm gonna throw up even talking about it. Yeah, it was just so scary. We're tough. I think we just were like, again, with our fleeing nature, we were like, no, we're fine. You know, after we kind of came back a little bit, we're like, we're fine. We're just going to go back to town.
The adrenaline worked.
Yeah, right. Seriously. We're just going to get to Lombok, which is like Kuta Lombok, which is like an hour away.
And I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm sure you felt the same way. But at a certain speed, once you get even faster than like, let's say 50 kilometers an hour, maybe 35 miles per hour, you can feel the wind on your wounds and it just hurt. Everything hurts. My body, everybody was, everything was aching.
Yeah. You feel the wind on your wounds, but also you feel the wind trying to take your bike. And so you're battling going on a bike, navigating the wind, navigating potholes, navigating these rips in the ground.
Bulls
then we're bulls in the street. Literal, a firework went off right next to us at one point. Dogs in the street. Blood on the ground, like, it was the most traumatizing. When you're already in this heightened state, and then there's all of these continuous traumatic things happening around you, it's like, you're just in survival. And you just, like, we have to get to the Airbnb. Like, we just have to get to the Airbnb. So we get to Kuta, and, you know, immediately we go to a pharmacy, and people are taking notice because Bree's leg is in shreds and people are like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, are you okay, blah blah blah. And we're just still in shock at this point, like, just like, yeah, we're fine, like, we need to get medicine, blah blah blah. We have, you know, tissue paper stuck to us. We're literally covered in dirt.
We drove with one shoe.
Yeah, one shoe. Yeah, You know, so we get the medicine and then we're like, oh, we're hungry. Let's go get something to eat. We go to dinner.
Get pizza and calamari.
These guys at the restaurant were like, are you guys okay? Like,
we probably look like the toughest chicks they've ever
serious.
Seen.
Serious. Rolling in on our motorbikes with just dirt, literal dirt on our faces.
We check in and the guy goes, you guys look so tired.
We're like, yes, so can you speed in the check-in process so we can please lay down and shower? And then they notice the wounds. Oh, my God. you know, and then we're lollygagging, and then we get back to the villa, and it's like, okay, time to clean off. And that's when it kind of started to set in a little bit that, you know, we're actually in a lot of pain.
Pouring alcohol on each other was more, just as traumatizing as the whole thing itself.
It is. It is. Because you just know that you're going to hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. You, like, bad, too. So that was awful. It was just the most traumatizing day. Like, we just kept adding to it.
And I can't go without sharing this, but it's like, I kept thinking in my head, what the fuck just happened? Like, what happened to us? Mm-hmm. And then going immediately to, how lucky are we that we're not that guy on the side of the road?
Oh, I completely forgot that part. Yeah. Yeah. We saw a fatality. I'm going to assume, because 20 minutes after our accident, we pass and there's 20 people gathered around praying over a body on the side of the road, and his bike mangled.
Completely.
Completely mangled. And it was just like a straight path, you know? Like, I don't know what happened. Lost control. I don't know.
And again, the roads were just so bad. It just rained everything.
Yeah.
So
it's just crazy. It's crazy to think that we walked away with some burns, but no broken bones, still an ability, you know, like life is, I mean, it was just a little blip. No serious injuries. Like, we are so lucky.
Yeah.
Truly. So we go, we're like, I think this is true of traumatic experiences, right? And it's so easy to, invalidate traumatic experiences because it's like you just try to live normally afterwards and you're like, oh, it's not that bad, whatever, you know. We like showered, did that whole thing, we're screaming in the shower, just having
sobbing,
the water
screaming.
Yeah, touch our skin, let alone when the alcohol touched it, it was just wailing.
Yes.
And we're like, okay, let's just try to watch Netflix, you know, and go to sleep and whatever. And
that was a horrible night of sleep.
Yeah, it was an awful night of sleep because the sheets kept sticking to our wounds. Mm-hmm. And it was so painful every time you moved, every time the other person in the bed moved, because it would move the sheets. We were leaking, oozing everything.
The wind draft from the air conditioning on raw skin.
Horrible.
Everything.
Yeah. It was very, it was awful.
Nightmares. I feel like multiple traumatizing things came up for me just from that.
Yeah, right, right. It's just like open up the can of worms for the other traumatic events. It was rough. So when we got up in the morning, Brie was like, yeah, okay, it's let's go. Let's go to a doctor.
Yeah,
like,
no more being tough girls.
No, yeah, yeah, seriously. Thank goodness. We went to the doctor. They cleaned us up. They were great.
So cool. Yeah.
They were really great. Yeah. Yeah, they were really great. They were laughing with us. They were making jokes. And they cleaned us up and told us that we don't need to use any more alcohol. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. I will pay again for that confirmation.
Right. But we're laughing because we're just limping around the streets like little street dogs. Literally limping.
We are one with the street dogs.
We are one. We get it now. And yeah, and today we've just been kind of processing and, you know, taking time to just really sit with it. And we're both so grateful for all the love and support we've received and everybody else who's recognized that this was very scary for us to go through. And thank God we have each other and thank God we're both okay.
And I think that's something that I've recognized, too, is every time somebody asks, because when it's a physical thing, right, you can see it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times we have emotional things that people don't see in everyone's day-to-day lives that they don't
think to ask every time they see us, like, oh my gosh, are you okay? It's, yeah. Hey, how are you doing? You say you're good and you can hide it deep down, right?
Right.
But when it's physical, it draws attention, and like all you and I wanted to do was not give it attention because right. it was having us to relive that moment over again, and we didn't want that.
Seriously.
We still don't want that.
Seriously.
So it's like our doctor's visit, we're joking, but I was like, we went shopping after and called it a medical expense. And I was like, the doctor's visit was a really good price, but to go shopping to cover it up so other people wouldn't draw attention to it mm-hmm. was not a good
price. Yeah, right, $2 million later.
Yeah, rupee. Yeah, yeah.
I just love saying that.
$2 million
manifesting
later.
It, just spending millions like it's nothing.
On medical expenses, I don't know, but it's if it's retail therapy, yes.
Right.
So, man, that was just that was our 24 hours, and mm-hmm. it feels good to just chill and be here, and to, I think this is, like, God is really telling us to. I was saying, like, sit with the uncomfortable, just be, slow down, ground yourself.
Don't
like,
flee.
Don't flee. I am grounded.
Yeah, it goes to really, like, sitting with the uncomfortable, though, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, you just have to. You just have to. Can't run,
literally,
can't hide.
Sitting is uncomfortable.
Yeah, I honestly can't sit normally. My ass is burned. So on brand. But yeah, it's just telling, like, talk, communicate, sit with the uncomfortable, voice where you're at, even when it's like, yeah, this horrible thing has happened, but hey, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
you know, and honoring where you're at, like, we don't need to talk about it, we're good, don't want to talk about it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, I mean, it's been nice just to kind of take it easy, and our friends will be here soon, so that will be nice. I just heard the door open, and I thought that
was... It might be.
I think also right now I'm just giving prayers, because I need to be more specific. I keep saying, like, I pray we make it in one piece. I pray yeah. that this is a positive experience. Yeah. And I'm like, define one piece.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously. Serious. Very specific prayers. Yeah.
So I'm praying for ease and grace and everything to flow smoothly yeah. and for us to relieve ourselves of pain as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I'm so blessed that I have you in my life still, and that we can laugh about this, because usually it doesn't yeah. end out that way on a motorbike crash.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm very lucky to have walked away with just some burns. Maybe some trauma.
Burns on our hearts and burns on our feet.
Literally. But yeah, yeah, we'll touch back in before the journey ends, of course. But until then, yeah, I have no clue what the next couple days or week is going to look like. But I'm just happy that we're together and, like you said, alive. And
to everyone who's been reaching out and saying, you know, prayer, sending love, you know, praying for us to feel better, thank you for that. We hear you. We see you. Mm. And we really appreciate it.
Mm. Yeah, seriously. Your love is felt, definitely. And it's the warm blanket we need while we kind of process, so...
I just want to be babied.
Yeah, I just need some genuine.
I know. All
right.
Okay, we'll see you guys in the next one.
Ciao.
Stay safe out there.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.